Hello, and welcome to the Porter County Commissioners Debate here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Porter County. I'm Tom Maloney, and I'll be your moderator for this debate as we welcome in from the Northern District of Porter County, Republican and incumbent Jim Biggs, and Democrat Becky Mateja Lombardini. In the Southern District of Porter County, Democrat and incumbent Laura Scher Blaney and Republican Fred Martin. Each candidate will have 60 seconds for their opening statements. They will be allowed 60 seconds to answer each question as put forth. Linda Kruger, a member of the League of Women Voters of Porter County, is our timekeeper for the evening, and she'll let you know when your time is up. Then, at the duration of the debate, each candidate will have 60 seconds to close. For tonight, due to the nature of two separate races, we will begin first with the Southern District. We've drawn numbers tonight to determine who will answer first, and the order is as follows. Going first for their opening statement will be Fred Martin, followed by Laura Scher Blaney. Then in the Northern District, Becky Mateja Lombardini will present her opening statement. And finally, Jim Biggs. I'm going to pause for just a moment. Becky, did I get your name pronunciations correct?
It's actually Mateja. I don't know if it's like silent or a Y, but you're close. It's fine.
Okay. All right. And we do have a bit of a dropout issue as well with Jim Biggs again. So we'll do our best to keep trucking forward here, and we will wait on Jim as necessary. Hopefully he's back on again in just a moment. So let's go ahead and pick back up. So with the opening statement for the evening, Fred Martin, and Fred, you have 60 seconds.
Thank you, and thanks for having me today. My name's Fred Martin. I'm a Republican candidate for District 1 County Commissioner. I want to be an advocate for the citizens of Porter County. I've served in various capacities for the citizens of Porter County through fire, paramedic, emergency management, and now I just want to go to the next step. And I want to bring a fresh perspective, a different perspective from my background to the office of county commissioner. I want to be the person that is easy to get a hold of and help people maneuver through any issues they have or answer any questions. Thank you.
Should I start or?
I'm muted. I'm sorry. I should have unmuted myself, does happen with Zoom debates, apparently. Laura, you now have 60 seconds for your opening statement. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Laura Blaney. I'm running for re-election for Porter County Commissioner in the South District. A little bit about myself. I've been married for 26 years to my husband, Ken. We have four children together. We currently reside in Porter Township, and we've been there for about 20 years. I have been in Porter County my entire life. We're small business owners and real estate investors. Some of the things I think I might bring to the table, or that I know I bring to the table, that will be beneficial to this position, the main one is experience. I have 6 years on the council, 8 years on the commission. We have some challenges coming up where I think that's going to be important. I'm also known as a team player, and, you know, I've become a problem solver rather than a finger pointer, and I really love my job.
Thank you, Laura. Becky, you have 60 seconds now for your opening statement.
Thank you, everybody, for having us. My name is Becky Mateja Lombardini. I am running for the North position for commissioner in Porter County. I have been very active through volunteering, working, and raising my children for 20 years here, region raised. So a few bullet points about me: master's degree, Rotary Scholar, Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Also worked for Johnson & Johnson as a manager and the Community Healthcare Systems as a community relations coordinator. I'm also a small business owner, which happened to be a union a few years back. Developed from there. And then I finally settled with IUN, and I am on faculty there. I also want to I look forward to beautiful county and continuing just maybe with a little bit different approach to that. And you can all meet me tomorrow night. And I don't know when this is going to air right after, but we have a meet and greet at Gastro's if you need any more questions or answers.
Thank you, Becky. Jim, you have 60 seconds for your opening statement. Oh, Jim, you're muted. Please unmute yourself. Okay, now
you hear me now.
We can hear you now. Wonderful.
I'm running for the third district seat, also known as the North District seat. I am finishing up my 12th year in the commissioner's office. I served all through the 90s. I did not run a third consecutive term. I left office, finished my master's degree, came back into county government 11 years later. I ran for county council. I sat on the county council for 5 years. Midway through my second term on the council, I ran for commissioner, and that is the term I am finishing up right now. I am a seventh-generation resident of Porter County. I hold a master's degree in public safety administration. I've raised my family here. We've lived in the same house for 30 years. I've been married for 33 years to my wife, Carol. I love the reason I'm running for re-election. I love what I do. I want to finish what we've started. We've renovated all of our major buildings.
Thank you, Jim. We're going to have to pause it right there. That is your 60 seconds for your opening statement. But fret not. We are handing the microphone right back off to you. You will be going first for the first question. It's a three-part question for all candidates. If you need me to repeat any of the parts, please let me know, and I will do so. What in particular attracts you to the job of county commissioner? What skills do you have that would make you well-suited for the job? And which of the commissioner's responsibilities are of particular interest to you? Jim, you'll be going first.
Well, what attracted me to the position is that it's local government, and it's local government touches its residents more readily than any of our governments, quite honestly, whether it's state or federal government. I like what I do. I believe that I'm good at it. I've been the voters of Porter County have elected me 3 times. To the seat of county commissioner. I have also sat on the county council for 5 years, elected to that position as well by the voters of Porter County. And I think what the best part of my job, honestly, is making decisions that enhance the quality of life here in our county by way of its county government.
Thank you, Jim. Becky, you'll be answering next.
What attracted me is the process. I was very active with the Mervan for Congress campaign. As I've been most of my life, I just haven't had politics in the forefront. I'm always a public servant. The skills that I bring, like many folks who don't have the position before they actually get it, are parlayed. So fiscally responsible, hardworking, servant leader. And the reason that I would like to do this is I want to stay involved and I enjoy it. And I'm ahead of the curve here. I really like helping people and I'm in touch with folks and I listen. And like any good mom, I bring those ideas together, figure out solutions, get it done, and then we move on.
Thank you, Becky. Laura, you have 60 seconds.
Forgetting. What attracted me to the job initially, this time it's because I want to finish the projects that we've started. We've really started a number of great projects. We have some new ones in the hopper. Some skills I bring, I have my BS and MS in biology from Purdue, and I think my scientific training allows me to look at problems in kind of an unbiased, practical manner. The things I love about the job, I love our employees, I love managing people, I love being able to change the quality of life for the better in the community where I live.
Thank you, Laura. Fred? You have 60 seconds to go ahead and answer the first question.
All right. Thank you. What attracted me to the job is this is where I can now make an impact on the lives of the citizens of Porter County in a positive way. As far as skills go, my certification in as an investigator, my EMS training in incident command, education in organizational management, and my experience in leading through incidents and long-range planning with certain emergency services departments. My priorities is going to be to, of course, technology is going to be a big issue coming up and making sure everybody has availability to good internet connection, our emergency services, our ambulance service, and how to navigate in a post-COVID world with finances and just the lifestyle of people from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Answering first for this question will be Laura. Many Porter County residents don't fully understand the role of the Board of Commissioners. How would you improve communication with county residents about the duties of the board and the work it's currently doing?
You're correct. A lot of people don't realize what our job entails. We are the executive body. We're kind of like the mayor of the county, except for there are three of us, which is actually kind of nice because we can bounce ideas off of each other and help each other out. To communicate, we've already done a lot. We have launched four new websites for different departments and one big countywide website. And we're on Facebook all the time, social media. We really do our best to try to get information, just constantly pushing information out to the people. And we have forms and they can fill things out any time of the day or night. It's all technology driven and that's the best way. The other thing I personally do is the elections that the Valparaiso High School does. I usually go meet with somebody who is elected commissioner and show them around for the day and teach them about what we do.
Thank you, Laura. Fred, you have 60 seconds.
Okay. I, too, when asked what does a commissioner do, I've used the term the county mayor, except there's three of us. And we share the responsibilities to communicate those not only through electronic means, but also attend events and talk with people and one-on-one and be approachable. If people have a question, they can approach me and we can discuss whatever issues they want to discuss and understand our role as the executive body of what we actually do. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Becky, you have 60 seconds to answer.
Thank you. I'm going to get a little bit more specific here. But that was one of the first things that was asked, what does a commissioner, and they've explained it very well. I think my biggest advantage here is I'm out and about, so people feel very comfortable coming up to me, but I also would invite them to come to the meetings. I learned a lot there. And then also through social media, phones, texts, but three things that are really important that a commissioner would do. Fair contracting, sound decision making, and caring for our resources. And I'll get a little bit more specific because I have some time. So trying to get at least three contractors to bid with planned labor agreements on those for the fair contracting, decision making, keeping an open mind, respectful, and just debating what we're going to do with money, hearing all those folks, as well as, you know, funding for taxes or government or for those philanthropic endeavors. And third is caring for our resources like the dunes, making sure that people are respectful with those.
I am muted again. I promise I will try to not do that as often as I've done already. Becky, thank you. Jim, you now have 60 seconds to answer, and you are currently muted, so make sure you unmute yourself.
Yeah, could I get you, before you start my time, Tom, could I get you to repeat the question?
Absolutely. Many Porter County residents don't fully understand the role of the Board of Commissioners. How would you improve communication with county residents about the duties of the board and the work it's currently doing?
Well, I think the the most logical thing you can do, which this board has really worked very hard to do, and that is to be extremely transparent in your job and make yourself available to the public. You know, we, and all the projects we've done over the last 3.5 years, every single one of those projects were bid out. And there 33, I believe, out of 34 contracts were given to companies right here in Lake and Porter County. And, you know, we have gone a long, long way from where we were just a few short years ago in that sense, and which I'm extremely proud of being part of that. Again, being very transparent, especially in this day of technology, you know,
that is your time there. Up next will be Becky answering first. The Porter County Board of Commissioners is responsible for appointing citizens to local government boards, commissions, and committees. How do you recruit and encourage individuals who reflect the diversity of Porter County to seek out these appointments?
I would say when I was slated that I've actually gotten hundreds of calls on different things. So I think people are really wanting to be involved, and I would encourage them to apply. Also through all the resources that we have, papers, social media, talking to folks and making sure that they understand the process, apply, and that we can look at all of them and see who is a good fit. And just like us, that we would be able to be considered for whatever board that they're interested in. I think we have some fabulous things that are going on in the county, and I think we can continue to expand on those. Mostly, I heard a lot of great things about tourism. So a lot of those funds help the other projects in our county, and I'm looking forward to being a little more involved in those. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky. Jim, you have 60 seconds.
Well, currently, county government, we publicize those board openings. We announce them in our public meetings. You know, my experience, Tom, over the years is, you know, the worst thing that you can do is try to talk somebody into taking a board appointment. That is not the type of board member you want. Typically, our best board members, they seek us out. They want to be involved. And they know where to find us. Our phone numbers, our addresses are all published. So I think we do a pretty good job there. Actually, I think we do a very good job there. Again, if those people who really want to be involved for the right reasons, they actually seek us out for board appointment.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Laura, you have 60 seconds to answer. Laura, you're still muted. Let's go ahead and unmute. It's quite all right. It happens to the best of us, myself included.
Let me try again here. Like everybody said, we do all those things. Our public meetings are videotaped. We have Facebook. We get it in the newspaper. We put it on our webpage. I know I go talk to people that I know in the field, whatever area we're looking at, and ask them if they have any ideas, if they know anyone who would be good or has special interest. I did want to go back real quick on the bidding process. You know, we passed, our board did, a fair bidding ordinance. So we are required over a certain amount to use union labor because we want trained people working on our buildings. And also, as far as taking bids, it's the law to take 3 bids. So we absolutely do that. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Laura. Fred, you have 60 seconds to answer.
Well, I think using all of our current methods of publicizing openings and encouraging people, one thing I would like to do, and it kind of goes back to explaining what the commissioners do, is talk with service organizations and say, this is what we do, clubs, what have you, and be out in the public as much as possible, because usually those are the people who like being involved and you could probably recruit some good folks from that.
Thank you, Fred. Fred, you'll be answering first on this question. One of the responsibilities of the Board of Commissioners is to receive bids, as we've just discussed, and authorize contracts. As the EMS contract is set to expire, are you in favor of putting it out to bid to ensure the county gets the best service and rates for pre-hospital emergency care?
I think what we need to do is discuss what we want as a Board of Commissioners. For one, especially as a former paramedic, I'm not in favor of having our 911 ambulances do interfacility transfers. And I think we have to look at the service as a whole and talk with our local fire departments that run EMS and see how we can help them. And because we already have good services here, and just define what we want more and just take a look at the whole operation. And so that's pretty much my answer. I would prefer a fire-based people that have to pass a physical agility test to be able to work on the ambulance. So we know we have people that are able to actually lift and move without having to constantly call out a fire department for lift assist.
Thank you, Fred. In under the buzzer. Nice job. Laura, you've got 60 seconds.
Okay, I remembered to unmute this time. Because ambulance service, by definition, is a service, we're not held to the same three-bid rule. Because services can vary so greatly, it's hard to really measure whether the bids are responsive. That's especially important when it comes to the ambulance contract, because our county is so diverse. When you get down in the south end of the county, all of the houses are so far apart, and it's not a real... it's not an area a for-profit ambulance service is real excited about. So we really have to make sure that all the areas in our county are covered, not just the higher density money-making ones.
Thank you, Laura. Up next is Jim.
Tom, the law states clearly, and I quote, "You must accept the most responsible and responsive bid, especially when it comes to ambulance services." As Laura touched on, which is so true, you know, there's really two parts to our county. There's one that's very rural and one that's very populated. You know, most things north of Route 30 are much different than those south of Route 30. The commissioners 3.5 years ago, this board of commissioners renegotiated the ambulance contract with Porter Hospital, paying hundreds of thousands of dollars less annually. We're continually in contact or communication with them. We make changes where we believe changes need to be made, but it's a work in progress. There is no perfect answer. And by the way, there isn't a single ambulance service in this country that is self-sustaining. It has to be subsidized by government.
Thank you, Jim. That is your time. Becky, you have 60 seconds.
Like any issue that comes before the board, we should explore it, whether it's in-house or to be bid. We have to assess what's been happening and then look at what other people can deliver. But like they all said, there's a lot of great ideas, but we do have to just make sure that if we do have calls, no matter anywhere in our county, that they are served. And when the bids do go out, they look at the value, the responsiveness, the cost. So with any contract, those are key elements that if it's going to be rebid, that you'd have to look at those certain things to bring someone on or to keep them, whether in-house or out.
Thank you, Becky. Answering first on this question will be Jim. One of the responsibilities of the Board of Commissioners is to implement economic development programs to attract and retain jobs. Because of the pandemic, the county's unemployment rate soared to 17.2% in April. It has since rebounded as unemployment was 7.2% in August, but it's still the county's highest unemployment rate in over 6 years. In light of all of the Board of Commissioners' responsibilities, How important is it to implement economic development programs to attract and retain jobs? And how would you improve upon the economic development work that the commission has done recently?
Well, my personally belief that the smartest thing and the most responsible thing that the Board of Commissioners can do is keep taxes low, keep our streets safe, help do our part to our school districts, are known to be good school districts here in the county. We don't create jobs other than the jobs that we create to operate county government. As I touched on earlier, you know, we spent over $30 million and not a penny of that was income taxes or property taxes. It was done off the interest of the foundation funds renovating our buildings. In doing that, we employed hundreds of people. We put in millions of dollars into the economy by making those decisions. 33 out of the 34 companies that we hired to renovate these buildings, 33 were either Lake or Porter County companies. So there's things that we can do indirectly, but directly,
Thank you.
Government affordable.
That is yes. Thank you. Becky, you have 60 seconds to answer.
You're welcome.
Okay, so there's a lot of things going on in my mind. I do believe we need a balance, so quality of life and progress. And one of the things that I've seen throughout my life here and around the world, I've been able to travel a little bit, is to have jobs, and I really am a proponent for living wage jobs, a one person in the home, because family values are really
I'll be back.
To,
I'll be back.
Progress balanced with revenue. So, for instance, one of the initiatives for our area through Congress is the double track. And I do think that's important to have jobs here, to get people to jobs, to have people come in, that we'd also balance that. You know, we would have, they'd have to follow rules and pay and take that money that's generated and put that back into our county for other services that we might need.
Thank you, Becky. Laura, you have 60 seconds.
Thank you. You know, as Jim mentioned, we're just finishing up our capital improvement program. It was a $30 million investment into our county buildings. We created 130 jobs that way, and we have more projects planned. We have the Willow Creek Extension, and that is going to be a great project, and we've already received grant money for the environmental studies, and it's very high up on the NERPC list, so we're hoping to find funding for the entire road pretty soon. And that's going to open up a lot of opportunities for a lot of people. We also have our RDC, who is board that is very active and looking at a Highway 6 overlay and some other potential improvements that will bring jobs to Porter County.
Thank you, Laura. Fred? You'll wrap us up with 60 seconds.
Well, I think workforce development is very important. I think we need to collaborate with area businesses to find out what type of skilled labor they need and see how we can assist in training people to fill those skilled jobs. The other thing it's going to be an issue soon is going to be working from home. And like double tracking and all that's good, but how many people are going to be working from home rather than going to Chicago? And I think as far as skilled labor goes, the more skilled jobs we can get in to Porter County, the better. And I think it's going to be working with businesses to find out what those skills are and seeing how we can assist in getting people trained in those positions.
Thank you, Fred. Laura, you'll be answering first. The Board of Commissioners establishes and enforces Porter County's minimum housing and zoning standards. The housing market in Porter County has been strong in 2020 despite the pandemic, and demand remains high. What do you think the Board has done right about housing and zoning standards over the last few years, and what, if any, are areas for improvement?
Well, one of the things we did recently that has been great is we have a dilapidated property. We have a fund now so that if there's a property that's not being kept up, if people call, we can go take care of that. We have an officer that puts us through the legal process so we can get to the point that we can help people either tear it down or sell it or fix it up to the point that it's no longer an eyesore for the community. That has worked very well. We've done it a couple times already, and I think that's going to continue to be a positive thing.
Thank you, Laura. Fred, you have 60 seconds.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Absolutely. The Board of Commissioners establishes and enforces Porter County's minimum housing and zoning standards. The housing market in Porter County has been strong in 2020 despite the pandemic, and demand remains high. What do you think the board has done right about housing and zoning standards over the last few years, and what, if any, are areas of improvement?
Well, there's always going to be room for improvement because you learn as you go. And with all credit due to the current government, and having served and currently serving on the Stormwater Port Advisory Board, we've seen things that have not worked well in the past and adjusted and made corrections. So things like drainage and building as a whole have improved. And I think it's just a matter of monitoring the situation and tearing down dilapidated buildings and bad properties. That helps maintain value and continue improvement. So it's just going to have to be a work in progress, and it's always going to be a work in progress. And just maintain health and life safety for people and do things that help maintain property values for the homeowners, because that's usually a person's largest investment in their life is their own.
Thank you, Fred. That's your time. And Becky, you have 60 seconds.
I think beyond like the brick and mortar, I think when you believe, when you think about a community, it's the people and the programs and the services. So our housing community is strong because we have such great people here, and I think also the leadership that you have to have as well. And I would bring up some programs like our schools, our police, our programs to help keep kids away from temptations, recreation, and some really good realtors. Rebuilding Duneland, I was out there last weekend. I think we have a lot of pride. We have a lot of concern. I think our building regulations, and you did bring up a good point with stormwater, building regulations, those are all important. But I think just the people here helping each other is really phenomenal, and I'd like to keep it that way, keep helping each other.
Thank you, Becky. Jim, you have 60 seconds, and you are muted currently.
Tom, you know, the fact that the housing market is still surging in spite of the pandemic, I think that's, you know, that's evidence whatever we're doing right. And again, I think it's low taxes. We, you know, Porter County has the lowest property tax rate of any county in Northwest Indiana. And arguably the safest streets, and arguably some of the best schools. You know, I'm not a big proponent in change in zoning. I think zoning exists for a reason. We actually, over the years, we spent a lot of money in preparing and zoning ourselves correctly. So I'm not a big proponent in rezoning anything for the purpose of creating something new, because something exists in that zoning, and it exists for a reason. So I'm not a big proponent of that. But again, I think what we're doing well, and that, and the evidence is we have a surging market here.
Thank you, Jim.
In spite of the pandemic.
That is your time there. You are listening on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, or watching on Facebook. The Northern District of Porter County and Southern District of Porter County Commissioners debates from the Northern District of Porter County, Republican and incumbent Jim Biggs and Democrat Becky Mateja Lombardini, and the Southern District of Porter County, Democrat and incumbent Laura Sherblaney and Republican Fred Martin. As we move on now, Becky, you'll be answering first for this question. How do you see the COVID-19 crisis affecting businesses of the board of directors? Excuse me, let me take that from the top here. How do you see the COVID-19 crisis affecting the businesses of the Board of Commissioners in the upcoming term? And what are your primary concerns about the county's finances due to the pandemic?
Can you repeat that first part, the businesses related to the commissioners?
Is that yes, yes. How do you see the COVID-19 crisis affecting the business of the Board of Commissioners in the upcoming term? And what are your primary concerns about the county's finances due to the pandemic?
Okay, so we are navigating a pandemic, and I'm hoping that we can. One of my beliefs is those who are sick, we separate, get better, have them re-enter into the society that's still working, thriving, caring. I'm hoping that that still moves forward while those other people are getting better. Activity is down, money is down. So this is something when you have a budget and you're looking over it, you have to see what you have, your needs, where all the money is coming from, like the taxes or revenue from any activities or the interest money. And then you have to see where you're paying out to. And depending on how much money you have is what you can do. So I'm pretty sure if our money is lower, then our services are probably going to be a little bit lower too. But there's always hope where you can fundraise. So I do a lot of that in my life.
Thank you, Becky. Jim, you are currently muted, but please unmute yourself. You have 60 seconds.
Tom, county government is our operations, our services that we delivered are revenue-based. Is that gone out of business? It's going to affect us exactly to what degree.
I'm going to pause you right there. We're having some.
That's why it was Board of Commissioners.
We're having some connection issues. I'd like to be able to give you your full time on the question. If you might be able to move to a more secure location for a connection, I'd like to, again, give you the full time for your answer so that way voters can hear your answer. We will we'll pause on Jim, but we will move forward with Fred. Fred, you have 60 seconds. And Jim, when you're back on, we'll go ahead and join you again for your question. Fred, you have 60 seconds.
Thank you. Yeah, I think revenue is going to be an issue. I think that fuel tax is going to be down, sales tax is going to be down, and we're going to have to figure out how to navigate the reduction in tax revenue. As far as how it affects everything, that is yet to be seen, and it's just going to have to be an ongoing monitoring situation. We're not out of the pandemic yet. I think it's going to be a situation where it's just going to have to be taken a bit at a time. And when it's over, we're just going to have to review it and see where we're at and make determinations from there. Right now, we're just predicting, but the only thing we can really predict is the slowing of the local economy just due to people going to the store and working from home, so they're not traveling as much and not buying as much fuel. So it will have an effect, the exact effect, and it has yet to be determined. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. And we will wait for Jim to get set back up on the Zoom call before we get to him. Laura, you have 60 seconds.
I agree with what everybody has said. Financial issues are going to be the most pressing. However, the county has put themselves in a really good position. We should have about $5 million rolling into 2021 in our general fund. And that's the result of some cost savings that the commissioners have made with our contracting and reviewing and especially healthcare, things like that. And then the council did some excellent budgeting. And we've got a nice little cushion there. In the foundation, we've been building a rainy day fund to cover 3 years of, three lean years, so to speak. We usually budget about $5 million a year out of the foundation. And we have about half of that saved. So we have some money, and we've got to still be very careful. And We've already had to do some furloughs in our self-funded venues, and hopefully we can get those rolling again.
Thank you, Laura. Jim, you are currently muted. If you are there, can you, are you, yep, there we go. We've got Jim back. Wonderful. Jim, I'll ask you the question just one more time for a refresher. How do you see the COVID-19 crisis affecting the business of the Board of Commissioners in the upcoming term? And what are your primary concerns about the county's finances due to the pandemic?
Well, as Laura touched on, we have from the very start, we have tightened our purse strings, and the council has, along with the Board of Commissioners, and it did not spend money that pre-pandemic that we may have spent. We've been very due diligent in preparing for the final outcome of the pandemic. But, you know, there's a lot of businesses that will never open up again, small businesses, and a lot of people have lost their jobs. And we're revenue based here. We operate for the most part on income taxes and property taxes. So if that revenue goes down, we hurt in our operations in affording to deliver our services to our people. But, you know, the county is, I think we're well positioned. Thank goodness. And I think we're going to be just fine.
Thank you, Jim. Perfect. Right at the buzzer there. Okay. Answering first for this question will be Fred. This is a long one, so I will, I'll repeat it as much as necessary. In 2007, Porter County sold Porter Memorial Hospital to Community Health Systems, which means the hospital converted from public ownership to a for-profit company ownership. The county made $120 million from the sale, which was used to establish the Porter County Government Nonprofit Charitable Foundation, as required by the terms of such sales in the United States. Foundations like this generally focus on issues relevant to healthcare, health status, and well-being of the community, making up for the loss of an institution obligated by the IRS to provide, quote, community benefit in exchange for not having to pay taxes. All county commissioners serve on the board's foundation. According to a September 27th story in the Times, that original $120 million has increased to $175.7 million. Do you believe there should be a plan for investing in community health programs using the Porter County Government Nonprofit Charitable Foundation? And if so, what should be the top priority? Fred, you'll be going first.
Okay. First off, I think we should only spend the interest generated from there and stay away from the principal as much as possible, because once the principal's gone, it's gone. As far as what we are able to spend, I think, yes, we have to help the neediest, most vulnerable people first, which would be our children and our elderly, to make sure they have the basic medical needs met. And take it from there. I think health clinics are good. Education's great. We need to teach people what programs are available and how to access them too. So basically, I think making sure that our vulnerable people are taken care of first, and then go down the line and help families, because a disease, an injury shouldn't spell financial disaster for the American family.
Thank you, Fred. Yep. Sorry, I was slow to unmute my microphone. Laura, you'll have 60 seconds to answer.
Okay. I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that any returns over 5% are required by law to go back to the principal in the foundation. So, you know, you hear about these big returns we're making, but we're only keeping 5%. And we have about $5 million of it budgeted, and it's allowed us to do a lot of keeping up on buildings and this capital improvement project we just did. I also think a lot of people don't realize that we do give money to Opportunity Enterprises, the Family and Youth Services Bureau, and the Council on Aging. So we are already helping some of these populations that need help. Once we get our rainy day fund filled, I would like to see that expanded. But I do think it's very important to do our rainy day fund first. As we saw in 2018, some years we don't have any returns. We had zero. And if we didn't have a rainy day fund, we would have had a real problem.
Thank you, Laura. Jim, you'll have 60 seconds. You are currently muted.
Well, as Laura touched on, we currently already do a fund in the hundreds of thousands, different social programs, especially those ones that she had mentioned previously. The money's there because smart planning took place. The money is only there because the 10 people, which is 7 members of the county council and then 3 members of the board of commissioners, have not let it be spent down. If I may, yes, we should be congratulated for that, because there are quite a few people who didn't want us to do that, who wanted us to spend it. But as Mr. Martin pointed out, once it's spent, it's spent. That money is a safety belt, if you may, for anything catastrophic to happen within our county. We are, and because it's there, we are the one of the most financially solvent counties in all 9 counties in the state of Indiana.
Thank you, Jim. That is your time. Becky, you have 60 seconds.
Okay. Let's see. Yes. That the sale was done, $150 million invested, some years yes, some years no. So that that money would only be the interest, and then also funding the rainy day. But like with anything, you have to look and see how much you have and what is needed. Just from conversations that I've had, looking at the taxes, looking at running government, and then also philanthropic, and that we should look at all of them open-minded, respectful, and transparent. And we do know that there are a lot of wonderful programs, but I think we want to just explore more as everyone is saying, to keep that balance. Wow, I'm ahead of the curve here.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
Okay, answering first for this question will be Jim. You're currently muted, so just a heads up. Education has come up a couple of times tonight. I know it's not technically in the responsibilities of the Board of Commissioners. The question was submitted, though. What is your assessment of how the school systems in Porter County are handling COVID-19? And do you think there should be a unified county plan for the schools?
Tom, I'll be real honest with you. I don't, as an elected official, I don't professionally, I don't manage or operate school districts. I'll leave that to the people. They pay very well to do that. As far as how they're handling COVID, my experience as a county commissioner handling it in county government, it is a very daunting task. It is a moving target, and there is no perfect way to manage it. It's basically, unfortunately, trial by error. But I'd rather not comment on how they're handling that business. I don't think it would be fair for me to say that or to mention that.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Becky, you'll have 60 seconds. Oh, you're currently muted, Becky.
Tom, would you please repeat the question?
Certainly. And again, this is not in the responsibilities of the Board of Commissioners. The question was submitted, though. What is your assessment of how the school systems in Porter County are handling COVID-19? I think the emphasis was probably along here in the second question. Do you think there should be a unified county plan for the schools?
Being a mom with a current high school senior, and I have 2 in college, I'm very impressed. As I responded to, I think, the paper, following the governor and the health county, being very aware. And I did mention that when it is someone is identified, they are cared for, and then they reenter. Overall, I'm very happy with the schools. My kids have enjoyed it in many different ways, not just with this situation. But I'll tell you, my heart goes out
to those teachers and administrators just in a normal year all over. It's not an easy job, and I really want to thank them all and the kids for hanging in there.
Thank you, Becky. Laura, you have 60 seconds.
Thank you, Tom. It isn't part of our job duties, but I, as a mom, I have kids in two different public school systems and one in a private school, and each one is handled a little bit differently. And I think each program that each school has come up with has worked very well for their individual schools. That being said, I would never make a recommendation. It's not my strong point. We have people that are doing great jobs in the schools, and I'll leave that decision up to them. They are working really well with our health department and making sure all of our kids are well cared for and that they are following CDC guidelines. And I can't thank the school systems enough for the extra steps they've gone to, because COVID spread is not happening in the schools. And frankly, that's amazing.
Thank you, Laura. Fred, you have 60 seconds.
I think it should be a district-by-district decision. Let the school boards do their job. It's too diverse to sit here and just have one plan. It's like we've said before. There's a big difference between the population, the density of population, say, in Portage High School versus Couts High School. And I think every school board is focused on their particular population, and they know better than us how to deal with it. So I think for the commissioners, if they want help, they can ask. We can help get them advice or anything they need. But at the end of the day, it is the school board who should be taking care of their particular school district.
Thank you, Fred. And just a quick heads up, Jim, we appear to have lost you again. If you could go ahead and try to reconnect. Fret not, though, you are answering last on this last question of the evening's debate. So we've got some time to go ahead and get back to you as necessary. The question is as follows, and Laura, you'll be answering first. Have you lived outside of Porter County? And if so, how has it helped you understand Porter County's particular strengths and the particular challenges it faces? What aspects of living in Porter County do you appreciate the most?
Well, the only time I lived outside of Porter County was 1 year in high school when my parents were on sabbatical and while I was in college. But I couldn't wait to get back both times. Porter County is just a fantastic gem, and we're so diverse, as has come up. We have the beaches, we have the cities, we have the rural areas. We're an hour away from downtown Chicago. There's just so many pluses here. We have great people. We have people who care about the community. I don't know why anyone would want to live somewhere else. It's kind of the best kept secret.
Thank you, Laura. Fred, you have 60 seconds.
I have never lived outside of Porter County. I've spent my whole life here. Actually, my whole life in Pleasant Township. Now, I've worked in LaPorte County as a paramedic, for the city of Crown Point as a paramedic, so I've gotten out to sea. But all in all, I think Porter County is a great place to live, simply because of the location, the beaches, and things like that. My wife has lived all over the place. Her father was transferred frequently as a plant manager, and she's lived in the East Coast and various places in the Midwest. And we've been married now for 26 years, and she really has no desire to leave. So I think Porter County's well run, and I think that's what we should just kind of stay our course, because it is a good place. You know, family always seems to move back here. Even when they leave, they eventually come back.
Thank you, Fred. That's your time. Laura, you have, excuse me, Laura, you've already gone. I apologize. Becky, you have 60 seconds. The Zoom squares are flipping around. So for those of you listening on radio right now, just imagine sitting in a Zoom meeting, and when all of the squares flip-flop and you're fixated on one and it moves, I apologize. Becky, you have 60 seconds.
So I've been in Porter County 20 years. I'm actually from a little city in Whiting, where I learned a lot. And the reason I come back, and I've been around the world, but my family, I'm a really family value driven person. I learned a lot. My parents are actually, give them a shout out. They've been together 75 years. So teamwork, perseverance, love. We have a lot of great. But I'm also, you know, I'm also a teacher. I teach at IUN. So I also say we can always look and see what we can maybe tweak or embrace or try. And, I just think that's, you know, really, good about me and about our county. I'm here and I do, enjoy it. And I do ask others, to come in as well and be here in Northwest Indiana.
Thank you, Becky. Jim, just want to make sure that we did not lose you here. Are you still there? You are currently muted. We'll wait just a moment here for Jim to go ahead and rejoin us. You are listening to and or watching, depending, the Porter County Commissioners debate for both the Northern District and Southern District. And Jim has joined us. Jim, I'm going to go ahead and read you the final question of the night. And you'll have 60 seconds, and please make sure you unmute yourself. Have you ever lived outside of Porter County? And if so, how has it helped you understand Porter County's particular strengths and the particular challenges it faces? What aspects of living in Porter County do you appreciate the most?
Well, yes, I for a short period of time, I lived outside of Porter County after I left college. And it did make me appreciate. I lived in a big city, and I learned that I didn't like living in a big city. So I come back home. And I guess what I love most about Porter County is my family's here. You know, I have generations of relatives that are buried in a soil. I have several family members that are in public service. It's where I grew up. It's where I've raised a family. You know, I'm sure that there are nicer places. You can make an argument that there are nicer places to live than Porter County, but home is home. And if you appreciate home, you'll appreciate living here. If you appreciate you know, a county that has a rural character, along with, you know, a small city or small town feel, you'll love it here.
Thank you, Jim. And just before we get into our closing statements, that'll do it for the debate portion of this evening's debate. Fred, Becky, Laura, and Jim, I want to thank all of you for your time. Linda, a fantastic job keeping time as well. The radio theater alone of the folks listening on 89.1 FM and hearing the signs being held up, I think, really goes a long way. I really appreciate all of your time tonight. Great conversations, great talking points as well. And I really hope that the voters in Porter County will be able to take all of your ideas to the polls. I want to wish you all the best of luck come Election Day, November 3rd. And I'll go ahead and put in the shameless plug. We'll be doing full election night coverage on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, beginning at 6 p.m. Okay, now that's out of the way. Candidates, you now have 60 seconds for your closing statements. Becky, you'll be going first with your closing statement.
Oh, okay, let me unmute myself. Okay, I'm all ready. I just want to say thank you to all of you and all to the viewers and listeners. I really am enjoying this whole process, and it's really making me think a lot like when I was in college. But I look forward to meeting all the folks. They want to reach out to me in any way, and I would really appreciate your consideration now or on November the 3rd. Remember, I'm here as I think of it as a public servant. There's lots going on, lots to think about. I'd like to help you with whatever need you might have. And I hope you all have a great rest of your week. And I, as I mentioned, I am have, I don't know when this is going to air, but there is a meet and greet, and you can just like me on Facebook and see all the things that are happening.
Thank you, Becky. Jim, you're currently muted, so please unmute yourself. You have 60 seconds for your closing statement.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to the Women's League of Voters for holding this candidate forum this evening. I don't know if I call it a debate, but it's been a nice forum. Some great questions. I want to finish what I started here. I think that I think the Board of Commissioners have done a fabulous job, and you know, when you know many things around us, especially over the last year, have been falling down around us. We've held steady. You know, we haven't missed a beat here. Our services have been rendered. Our bills have been paid. I draw, you know, as far, you know, speaking for myself, I draw from my experience. No, there's no county commissioner university that one can attend to get experience to do this job. But at the same time, that does not mean that experience is not a very valuable tool to have up here. We're thank a 48. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Fred, you'll have 60 seconds for your closing statement.
Well, I just want to say that I'm want to be here to be the advocate for the citizens of Porter County. I want to have a value, get good value for your tax dollars, a safe community, and a community that has good paying jobs and goes back to workforce development. I just want to thank you for having me on and the opportunity to participate in this. But once again, I'm Fred Martin. I'm running for District 1 County Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Laura, you have 60 seconds for your closing statement.
Well, in closing, I love my job, and I really hope over the past couple terms I have earned everyone's vote for another 4 years. I really want to tie up these projects that we've got started, that we're finishing up. We've got some new ones in the hopper that are just going to be awesome. The Willow Creek Extension, the realignment and refurbishment of the Calumet Trail. And I want the opportunity to help lead the county through this upcoming crisis. I've been endorsed by many wonderful organizations. And if anybody would like to see them or a more comprehensive synopsis of what's been happening while I'm a commissioner, please visit my Facebook page, Blaney for Commissioner, and look at the notes, and we've got everything there. Thank you to the Women's League of Voters for hosting this forum, and thank you, Linda Kruger. You did a great job with your time cards. And thank you, Tom, for moderating.
Thank you, and thank you for tuning in to the Porter County Commissioners Debate here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Porter County. Don't forget, we'll have full election night coverage on Tuesday, November 3rd, beginning at 6 p.m. here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thank you all, and good night.